Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Finally, a little clarity in a fog, and I think it has to do with the Southern Baptist Convention. This is Wretched Radio. Andy Stanley is the king of obfuscation. It is an otherworldly gift this man possesses to preach a message in such a manner that everybody in the room, all with differing opinions, conclude, he agrees with me. It's slow clap worthy. Andy Stanley delivering message after message that's foggy enough that critics can say, look at what he's saying there. And defenders would go, no, but he also kind of said that. For years now, Andy Stanley has been trying to unhitch the Old Testament. And he has now preached another sermon trying to undermine the authority of the New Testament. You heard him say that the authority of the Christian life is not the Bible, it's Jesus, because that's what the Bible says. Now, I know that that is entirely nonsensical, but he's saying that the New Testament, that's not the authority, Jesus is. Those are not the words of a preacher defending the Bible. Those are the words of a preacher trying to undermine the authority of the Bible. And many of us have been scratching our heads wondering, where are you going with this? What's up with this? And I think we just heard a little bit of a hint using Acts chapter 10, the story of dietary laws, where God makes it clear to Peter through a vision, a visit from Cornelius, the Mosaic dietary laws are gone. You need to understand that. And Andy presents that as an object lesson in getting rid of religious rules, the hurdles for Gentiles, these social issues and customs and theological issues, and is very uncomfortable for them. Where's he going? And we've got to do that too. We've got to get rid of all of our 21st century preconceived ideas of what it is that Christianity is all about. And if we do that, the floodgates will open up again and people will come to church. And this is when I finally received a little bit of clarity from Andy.
Because religious tradition, I get it. I grew up in one. It's claws in you, and sometimes you can't see straight, you can't think straight.
Wow, there it is. So what is Andy after? I think it's his Southern Baptist Convention upbringing. They were his dad was a conservative Southern Baptist preacher, and he grew up in conservative Southern Baptist circles. And you just heard a man who basically now and didn't appreciate it apparently very much because it got its claws into him. And so he's using now Acts chapter 10 to say, we got to get rid of all of that Southern Baptist stuff. We got to get rid of all of that conservative biblical stuff because he didn't like it. And he's been using this sermon series to undermine the authority of the Bible, to dismantle all of those people who try to be biblical but aren't Christ-like. I think I've just had an Andy Stanley aha moment.
We grew up in church and we don't want to be church for church people. We done that.
Spoken by a true seeker sensitive pastor. We don't want to be church for church people. Then call yourself a community center, because church by definition means called out ones. The only way an individual can be a member of a church is if you are a member of God's kingdom, because church is for Christians. Yes, unbelievers are welcome. We want them to come in and witness what we do for Christians. Andy Seeker Sensitive Movement said, no, we got to change that. We got to stop doing church for church people. We got to do church for outsiders. That is the Seeker Sensitive movement boiled down to its essence.
We saw where that led. It makes people cynical and critical.
Hold on. That's an accusation that I felt. Those of us who believe church is for church people, in other words, church is for believers, we're just cynical and critical. Don't ever, please, say that liberals never take shots. That was a cannon blast.
And they turned their backs to community, and everybody doesn't agree with them. They're just...
Okay, so we've turned our backs to the community. Come on.
Wrong, and they're going to hell anyway. And if you get saved, come on in, but...
Yeah, we just... They're going to hell anyway. What a straw man.
We can't have anything to do with you. Like
that's been our attitude. You felt like, Jimmy, I know you want nothing to do with those unbelievers.
Oh, no.
We're the only ones who want to get... We're it, baby. They're just going to hell anyway, so let them go in a handbasket.
Peter going, I know I need to go in there. I know I need to go in there, but I just can't go in there. There it is, all over again.
This sounds like a man who had a bad church experience in his upbringing. That's what this sounds like to me.
So unfortunately, this is why I'm talking about this. Unfortunately, much of that progress that you were a part of creating at other churches, not just us, much of that progress is being undermined and reversed like crazy right now.
Good.
With all the political nonsense in the last few years, it has picked up speed like crazy. And here's what happened.
I can't wait to hear it. We're going to enter into the realm of politics.
The people fueling it are conservative. And I'm so theologically conservative.
Nobody who's conservative would affirm that.
I'm even politically conservative. But this whole thing has been fueled by conservative, fearful, fundamentalists. Don't have time to define that.
You should.
Academics and pastors. And churches, church leaders are resurrecting old barriers that we spent years tearing down.
Mm-hmm. And there are churches that are growing, that are receiving the cast-offs because of Andy's increased liberalism. How do I know? We happen to be located in the same town. We meet these folks at Alpharetta Bible Church. But now I think we're going to get an even deeper glimpse into what is motivating this, because you would not anticipate in this moment with this sermon about the authority of the Bible and that it shouldn't be authoritative. What does this have to do with the Southern Baptist Convention?
Now, I'll give you a quick example. I texted him this morning, told him I was going to talk about him in church. One of the two people who really launched this movement way back in the late 70s is Rick Warren.
And the other one was Robert Schuller.
With Purpose-Driven Life. Before he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, he wrote The Purpose-Driven Church. That book sold millions of copies to pastors, and it was a book about how to create a church that's for outsiders, for unchurched people. I mean, he inspired so many of us, right, to help get the church back on mission. He is a modern church reformer. There's no way around it.
That is very true. And he has reformed the church. But reformation doesn't always mean progress, and it certainly doesn't mean biblical.
Last year, some of you know about this, last year, his denomination kicked him out of the denomination. For something immoral? No. Something illegal? No. Something that had to do with money? No. Because he's had some addiction? No. None of that, you know, glamorous stuff, right? They kicked him out because he had the nerve to ordain three female staff members who were functioning as pastors. He ordained them as pastors, which is actually a legal status. It gave them a tax benefit. They're doing the work of all the other male pastors. He's like, well, why in the world would we not make them pastors?
Pick me. I know. Oh, because the Bible says so. And that's why Andy needs to undermine the authority of the Bible. He's a liberal. He's not conservative. This just sounds so much like the modern day gaslighting. You people who want free and fair elections, you're undermining democracy. What? I thought that's actually a staple of democracy. This is liberalism, and in order to advance women in the church as pastors, you need to undermine the authority of the Bible.
Pastoring. And they weren't going to go out and lead a church. They were working on his staff. He ordained three women, and they kicked him out of the church. You don't get any more insider focused than that.
No, you don't get any more biblical than that. And that's what this hokey pokey is all about. And that is why we are receiving clarity from Andy Stanley. this is a march toward liberalism. And I wish that he would just stop saying he's conservative. He's probably fond of that moniker for some reason. He also knows his audience in Alpharetta, Georgia, mostly, not entirely, but mostly conservative. And he doesn't want to lose those folks because, after all, he is seeker sensitive, and he doesn't want to lose anybody, which is why he doesn't want to preach definitively and authoritatively, because it turns people off. And that is why I think this is, now we've got clarity. His upbringing was conservative Southern Baptist. And today he's now railing against the Southern Baptist Convention for adhering to 1 Timothy 2:12. So how do you go about the business of saying those people are wrong? Because that's what he just said without directly saying they're wrong. He did just say the Southern Baptists are wrong. The only way you can get there is to undermine the authority of the Bible. And so it is. Andy Stanley, I think, is revealing his true colors. Andy, please, just say you're a United Methodist. Just come out and say that you've jettisoned these things. You don't believe them. And that's what this church is about. But please, please, stop saying you're conservative. Stop saying you're biblical. Because you're not. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We've bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, seasons 1 through 3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, seasons 1 to 4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, seasons 1 and 2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me tell you just how this ministry is going to be changing lives later this year. With your help, meet Dr. John Crotts, one of the new powerful voices who will soon be joining this ministry later in the year. Dr. Crotts is a pastor at Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. He holds a doctorate of ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Crotts has also authored several books, including Graciousness, Tempering Truth with Love, and of course, Loving the Church. His work focuses on theology and pastoral care, helping believers grow in their faith and their love for the church. And your support can help bring more voices like Dr. Crotts to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign, which is happening right now. You can visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. God is just. Since he is the standard of right and wrong, every judgment he makes is right and just. He rewards good and punishes evil. The good news for sinners is that the just God offers to justify you through the atoning work of Christ, so that your sins are punished on the cross and Jesus' righteous deeds are accounted to you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this ought to be interesting. This is Wretched Radio. Andy Stanley, for years making an effort to unhitch the Old Testament in his latest salvo, trying to undermine the authority of the entire Bible. It seems that Andy is on a road trip to liberalism, and he is now going to talk about the realm of politics. This ought to be interesting.
Here's the problem. Evangelical leaders, and I consider myself evangelical. Not evangelistic, that's different, and evangelistic, but evangelical. Evangelical leaders are prioritizing politics over mission.
Okay, some are. I would affirm some are. All?
And the people in their churches are buying it hook, line, and sinker.
That actually is accurate. Okay, I would affirm that. In some churches, I wish he'd be a little more specific.
And globbing on all their political views, and my political views are as strong as your political views, and mine are right, okay? Just want to let you know right up front, okay? You think yours are. Not right, because we all feel that. You wouldn't have a view if you didn't think it was the right thing to do, right? But they have elevated politics, and here's what they've done. They've taken Old Testament or Old Covenant terminology, Old Covenant stories, blended it with their politics and globbed it on to the message and the person of Jesus. And it's just sick. And they're prioritizing politics over mission.
Sick? Last time I looked it up, that would be a pejorative. That would be name calling. That note aside, are there some who are doing that? Yes. Is everybody in evangelicalism doing that? No. No, we're not.
Political affiliation. I don't know who you follow on social media. I try to follow everybody so I know what the conversation is and follow the famous people, you know, in the religious world. Political affiliation has become the litmus test for orthodoxy.
Well, this ought to be interesting. It's up on his screen. Political affiliation has become a litmus test for orthodoxy. I would say no. Political affiliation isn't a litmus test for theological orthodoxy, but that doesn't mean political affiliation is amoral.
I hope you haven't seen this, but let me just tell you, what I'm about to tell you is not kind of off in a corner. This is mainline speaking and posting, and books are written and chapters and books are written about this. Right now, the current thing for the last 3 or 4 years is that you can't, I was going to put this on the screen, but there are things I should never put on a screen to have a picture taken because, anyway, so.
Accountability.
You know what the messaging is now? This isn't in the corner. These are, if I name the people who are saying these things, you've heard of most of them. You've read some of their books. That you can't be a Christian and be a Democrat. You can't possibly be a true Christian if you're a Democrat, which is absolutely absurd.
Then I'm an absurdist. So let me be specific. Can a new Christian or a perhaps uneducated Christian vote for an evil party like the Democratic Party? And the answer is yes. But that doesn't mean that we would affirm it and say, no big whoop. We would educate them that a party that is bent on the mutilation of children, the dismemberment of children in the wombs of their mothers, is so evil that we cannot be party, no pun intended, party to it. And when there is a more moral, not entirely, but a more moral choice, you must make that decision because you do not want to be a party to overt evil. It appears Andy Stanley, though, is saying that any of us who would say that it is a sin to vote for that party are absurd. Or, I guess, potentially sick, as he said. Is it absurd to say that a Christian who is informed should not vote for that party? Is that absurd? I don't think it is. I just wonder, so helpful always, to swap sins. Because the two big moral issues, historically, let's say before 1973, I think most of us conservatives would say we can get along fine with these people who are Democrats. We've got differences of opinion on tax policy, shovel-ready jobs. Those were the issues. But after 73, the issue of life is a genocide on children. It changed the entire playing field. And now with the gender issues and the government's effort to pay to mutilate children, we're just talking about different issues. We're talking about such moral issues. These are divisive issues. These are issues that make it very difficult to pretend that it's just not that big of a deal. And I wonder if we change the sin of abortion and the mutilation of children who are confused about their gender to slavery and rape. Let's imagine that the Democratic Party were for those evil acts. Slavery, they're pro-slavery and they're pro-rape. Would Andy say the same thing? That it's absurd for a pastor to say that you shouldn't vote for that party? I think what this reveals, I can't read the man's mind, but he just doesn't apparently think those issues are that big of a deal. I would love to hear Andy's position on life. He's somehow been able to skirt that issue. I'd love to hear it. I happen to be, perhaps I'm a bit of a rare duck in our circles, but I do believe that it is a sin to vote for people who are telling you up front, we are going to see more babies aborted. We're going to see more people enslaved. I think Andy would have a problem. We're going to see more women and children raped. I know he'd have a problem with those things. Why doesn't he have a problem with abortion and the gender issues?
But what's even more absurd is as conservative Christians, Republicans, demonize Democrats, all Democrats, and you can't possibly be a Christian, as they demonize Democrats, they basically go against one of Jesus' primary teachings. Instead of loving their enemies, all these lost Democrats, they demonize them.
The word demonize is a bit of a loaded word. Demonize them. To demonize is one thing. To call out wicked, atrocious policies, that's another thing. This is so clever of him to use word. Hey, you're supposed to love those people, not demonize them. Fine, we shouldn't demonize somebody, but we should love people by telling them the truth and saying repent and saying that is an evil vote. That is a wicked thing to be a party to. No pun intended. That is evil. That's not the same as demonizing someone.
They make Democrats the enemy. And what did Jesus tell us to do with our enemies? Anybody remember? Yeah. So let me just say to those of you who are conservative politically like me.
Well, the issue is finding the balance of speaking truth in love. That's what I think is the category error here. That to disagree with somebody isn't loving. I say to tell somebody biblically with the authority of the Bible, you're wrong. It's the most loving thing that we could possibly do.
If you do that, stop it. You can disagree, but you don't write somebody off as bad and evil. Here's why. You think it's just kind of funny. You study history. All that has to happen in any country is for a majority to decide a minority is evil. And once they're evil, they're cockroaches and they're rats. And once they're evil, the only thing to do with evil...
Jimmy, this ain't going where I think it's going, is it?
Redeem evil. You don't share your faith with evil. You get rid of evil. That language is so extraordinarily...
Dangerous? Look, I don't want to impute to him what he's not saying, but if I heard that correctly, he just said those of us who say that it is a sin to vote for an evil party with evil policies, the next step is Nazi Germany? Am I overblowing this a little bit?
That's what I heard.
Harmful. And this is one of many reasons why Jesus said, when somebody considers you an enemy, don't you dare return the favor. Do you demonize people that you've been called to reach? And this group of people, like these are some of them are my friends. They have turned the mission field into a battlefield.
As long as Nazi Germany is on the table, can you imagine a pastor in 1943 saying, you know, you people who demonize the Nazi Party, stop it. It's absurd and sick. You should be loving your enemies. I think that we would all get that. I think the reason that Andy is able to get away with what he's saying is because of his understanding of the issue of abortion and genital mutilation of children. It apparently just isn't that big of a deal. I'd love to hear a thorough treatment by Andy on the life issue and where he stands, because the issue of abortion and what we are doing to children, it's genocidal, and it is about as wicked a position as anybody can stake. And does that mean that I'm going to demonize a human being? No, they're the mission field, and they need to be reached with the gospel. But the message to them should be, repent, you are wrong, and you are a party to evil, and you must stop it, and you must have your sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking truth is loving. Wow, if I heard that correctly. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.